Okay.
This time, I want to call the June 2nd, 2020 regular meeting order at 7 p.m. For the record, all commissioners are present and have signed in. County Manager Starlin has signed in. What other staff, Rosalind? Is Tina on?
She said she was going to call in, but I haven't heard her yet.
Okay. Yes, I'm on.
Okay.
Okay.
Hello, Tina.
And so
John Kugel.
Susan Barnett.
All right, okay. So we've got all the commissioners and staff present. So this time would join me for the invocation. For our invocation tonight, I'm going to ask each of us to say a prayer silently. And, of course, I want you to remember, we'd like to remember all of our county and our employees, and that we need to ask a special prayer for our country tonight, that we can sort through some of the things that the country is going through. So at this time, we'll have a moment of silent prayer. Amen.
Amen.
We would go on now to the first order of business, which is approval of the minutes from the May 21st, 2020 meeting. You have those in your packet. This time I would entertain a motion to approve those minutes. Do I hear a motion to approve?
Mr. Chairman, I offer a motion that the minutes be approved as presented for the May 21st, 2020 meeting.
Motion by Commissioner Felton. Is there a second?
Commissioner Hagebuck seconds.
Second by Commissioner Hagebuck. We'll have a roll call vote by answering yes or no. Commissioner Felton?
Yes.
Commissioner Hagebuck?
Yes.
Commissioner Melvin?
Yes.
Commissioner Oliver?
Yes.
Right, that's unanimous. Thank you. We'll move on to our the next item on the agenda would be under new business. Would be item 6-1, the approval of the FY 2020-2021 FTA funding for the 5311 transit program. County Manager, have comments about this?
Okay, what this is our agreement for the next fiscal year. And fortunately, in this agreement, the federal government is actually funding the entire transit operating budget for this fiscal year because of the CARES Act funding that the federal government is giving to local governments and different organizations. This year, our projected budget is $491,416 for operating expenses and $52,521 for another van. Normally, match, you know, how it's a 50-50 match, but because of the CARES additional funding that was provided by the federal government, we're not going to have to match any of this money. So this is due to the federal government and the CARES Act. So this is just a contract we need to sign for the next fiscal year's budget so that we can continue to operate the transit service.
Do I hear a motion that we approve this, what is it called, contract or agreement?
It's a supplemental agreement for FY 2021.
Yeah, supplemental agreement for FY 2021.
I make the motion, Commissioner Hagerbuck. I make the motion we quickly agree to this contract.
Motion by Commissioner Hagerbuck. Is there a second?
Second, Commissioner Oliver.
Second by Commissioner Oliver. Is there any further questions of the county manager on this contract extension? Hearing none, we'll have to roll call vote. Commissioner answering yes or no. Commissioner Felton?
Yes.
Commissioner Hagerbuck?
Yes.
Commissioner Melvin?
Yes.
Commissioner Oliver?
Yes.
Chair also votes yes. That's unanimous. The next item is the approval of the additional cost for the striping on Pine Level Road. County Manager, explain that, please.
Okay. We had signed a, recently signed a contract with Reeves Construction Company to do the LMIG resurfacing on Pine Level Road. But it only included a portion of Pine Level Road. The LMIG is going to resurface from 127 down to Jim Hogg Road. And Regina had asked that the entire road be restriped, and the additional part goes from Jim Hogg Road down to Whitewater Road, which is about an additional 3.5 miles. And included in your package is a cost estimate for the additional striping so that the entire road, once it's resurfaced, the entire road will have new striping on it.
Okay. This, I guess, this fund.
Additional $18,110.10, and monies would either come out of the spliced or the T-spliced.
Where do you recommend that funding? Do we have it in the current spliced?
I would take it out of the spliced, but.
Okay. All right, you heard the explanation and the recommendation by the county manager. Do I hear a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I'll make that motion. Mr. Chairman.
Who made the motion?
Commissioner Melvin.
Commissioner Melvin made the motion. Is there a second?
Second, Carl Oliver.
Second by Commissioner Oliver. Is there any further discussion or questions?
Commissioner Hagerbuck, I know it's not minutes. We'd ask for what's left in all these splotches and T-splosh for the splosh we're in right now. I was just wondering what we have in each one of them before we.
I had sent that out in the last agenda package, but I didn't put it in this one. Again, I can send it out to you again tomorrow.
Okay,
but I had sent it in the last meeting.
In the splice, Rosalind, did it say how much was still in there for roads? I mean, was that, do you remember anything on that?
It was in there. I can look it up for you right quick. But,
yeah, if you can just tell me that's all.
One second.
Okay.
We've got around $1 million left in that in the 2016 splice for roads.
Okay.
And of course, we've got that still got that money in the T splice too.
That was over $2 million, right?
Plus, So either one, we can pay for this additional money out of either one. It's just up to you all, whichever one you want to do.
I'm okay with
either one. But what's that, Mr.
Falcon? I think we should use it from the oldest splice. Try to use it up.
Yeah, I agree. Take it out. Go ahead and take it out of the splice, and that way it don't get diverted into something else.
Okay.
Any other questions? So we had a motion and a second. Could we amend that motion? That motion to say we'll take it out of the current splice funds. Who made the motion?
Commissioner Melvin.
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. I make add that to the motion to take it out of the older splice fund, $18,110.10.
Right. Commissioner Oliver, you second? You in agreement with that?
Yes, sir.
All right, having motion second, all in favor answer yes, the roll call vote. Commissioner Phelps?
Yes.
Commissioner Hagebuck?
Yes.
Commissioner Melvin?
Yes.
Commissioner Oliver?
Yes.
The chair also votes yes, so that's unanimous. Next item on the agenda is to discuss the county's 2022-2028 splice list that we're in the process of trying to get put together for the November election. And I think the additional items, although we don't necessarily have to approve them, but the cities have submitted to county managers their splot list, and you have that. That was sent out additional today, I think 1 o'clock when the other came out. So you should have that in your packet. But let's try to focus right now, if we can, on our list. And we pared it down a little bit. And you have the most current one in your packet, and we're still reserving in that splice $1.2 million for road improvements. Well, let's go ahead and get. I think we'll have a discussion before we get a motion in this case, because there might be a good bit of related to it. So, any commissioners have comments about the current list, pro or con? Anything you'd like to modify or
commissioner Hogbook? Has a couple of questions or things he'd like to know about.
Right.
I'll go down my list real quick. It would be nice to know what the age of those motor graders are. It seems like we buy them all the time, and I saw where one's down. It seems like one's down all the time. So it'd be nice to know exactly where we're on that.
Okay.
All right. The second item was on the vehicles. I assume we talked about it before, maybe looking at like a pickup, maybe two pickups or an SUV for the government side. And the question would be the truck with the building sector. I assume we could get a trade in and maybe not spend quite $30,000. Same may could be done for the vehicle with the government building, either trade in or sell it, and maybe save a little bit there. On the sheriff vehicles, it'd be nice to know the ages and the mileage on these things. If we need six all of a sudden, or six over a period of the splash. And my question on the recreation would be the bleachers, you know, what they're made of. Is it going to be something that should last for a good period of time? And on the courthouse building improvements, can we specify kind of what we're going to be spending that $100,000? That was my question. Went through them in a hurry. I didn't know if anybody else had any same thoughts on any of that.
Rosalind, you want to respond to those questions?
Well, I can check on the age of the motor graders because I'm not sure or about it. And as far as the building inspector's vehicle, we were just coming up with a budget number to put in the splash when it comes time to do the purchase. Of course, we can always get find a good used pickup truck, and then we could always sell his vehicle on Gov Deals or something to that nature to try to get some monies back on that. And on the sheriff's cars, you know, right now we're faced with a dilemma because of the fact that he needs some new vehicles now. We don't have any money to purchase his vehicles. He can only get one. This money's not going to be available for him until, like, November, December of 2022. So look at the amount of time he's got to go without purchasing any vehicles unless you can find monies in the general fund. So what we were trying to do was budget it so that he could try to rotate it out so we won't be caught with a financial shortfall and not be able to replace his vehicles. That's why we put that number of vehicles in there for him. And as far as the courthouse, we don't have anything specific at this point in time. We know we've got things that we've got to do to the courthouse. Right now, we've still got to find somebody that can come and see about the bell on the top of the courthouse. And things are always coming up with the courthouse as far as different things that need to be done. So we just appropriated some money twice to cover, you know, future things. Because you're talking about 8 years down, you're talking about 8 years down the road. You don't know what you're going to need in 8 years down the road, especially on a building that's over 100 years old. So we just put some monies in there to try to cover it should something develop that we need to take care of.
Mr. Chairman, I have one other question. The one most important to me, I've just kind of overlooked, and that was the one about the capital improvements of the jail, the building. Question being, you know, we've talked about it several times in the past, and I don't know if we ever did a study on the cost to eliminate the jail and send it off to somebody else, some other county. And if we did that, and we could then turn around and buy two transport vans, a second one, and we'd have some money, another couple of $100,000 or something to put wherever anybody wanted to put it, please, which I'm thinking more in the roads, but other commissioners may have other ideas. But I hate to put $250,000 in a jail, and then we end up staying with the jail rather than letting it go.
Well, if what we have to do is get this paperwork done for the splash so it can get on the ballot by June the 15th. And then that gives us some time because it doesn't start till 2022. And then if, the way I understand the SPLOS, if it becomes not feasible to improve the jail because we'll be sending the prisoners out and contracting with another agency to handle our prisoners, then we would not have to spend that money. We wouldn't be committed to spending that money on the jail.
I guess my question would be, could you then allocate the money to either another transport van, or could you move it to another section in this splash budget we prepared?
It would seem like it could logically go very easily go to the another transport van, because that would be related to the direction that we're going. But that's really probably a legal question for the attorney, and then file on the splosh. We might have to put a special question sometime between 2022 and 2028 on an election. We might put a special question on there to divert those funds to another cause, but I think it's doable. But wouldn't that be correct, John?
Yeah, we'd have to look up that. That's another reason, you know, to take your time on doing these projects with splosh, because, you know, you got the City of Rome case that's in concrete, that if you allocate something for one project and it overruns, you can't, you've got to finish the project up too. So,
yeah.
Anyway, that's one example.
Commissioner Felton, one question about the jail. If the jail is closed for whatever reason, there will still need to be some refurbishing of that building. I mean, it's in pretty bad shape. And then what would be the plan or use for that building? We have to have some use of plan. I mean, we're not going to just let it sit there idly, you know, for a long, extended period of time. We're going to have to use it for something. So I think that should be a consideration also. You need some money, because if you do move the prisoners out, you're going to have to do some work in that building, no doubt.
Well, then, Commissioner Felton, that would be a great use for arraignments and stuff like that for a courthouse.
Well, we'll still need some upgrades, some refurbishing.
Oh, yeah.
Those cells are all in pretty bad shape, yeah.
Well, are you saying, is your argument that that would be the $250,000, or you're saying we need more than that?
Well, I don't know what it would take or what the improvements that it would need, but I do feel that we need to leave something in there, because that'd be, like I say, if it becomes vacant, we don't use it for prisoner use anymore. We're going to have to use it for something, and you're going to have to spend money to do some upgrades on it. So I'm in favor of leaving something in there for building improvement.
Right, I would be as well, but I don't know how much, because once you do get that prisoner, you gotta book them and still do the paperwork before you transfer them, you know, to you get somebody to take them wherever they're going. You still got to have a cell or two just to hold them for a minute.
Well, do we need a Commissioner Felton again? Well, do we need a van to transport them? We can't transport them in our cars.
You probably need a van at that point, more than likely.
Right. So you won't keep making one trip here, one trip there. Just, you know, take five or six at a time. You know, that's how I've seen the transport system work. You know, if you got to drive a far distance, you know, you'll wear somebody out. You know, you lock one up at 5 in the morning, then you get another one at 2 that afternoon or 3 that afternoon. There go 4 or 5 trips right there.
It's going to be hard to find a jurisdiction with any room anyway that can support additional inmates. First of all, it's close by, because you don't want to get shipped all the way to Savannah or something and transport them back.
And then some of these private companies, they may come in and try to lease it and turn it into something to do what we can't do, because they may have the money to put into it. You know, that's another option to look at.
We talked a little about that one time, and just talked to some people around where that's been done, and they've, most of the time that's done, the private people want to come in where you got a larger jail. They got some kind of cutoff. You got to be able to house so many prisoners before they can really make any money. But, you know, exactly what it was, but he's saying something like that. That's what they were talking about down around Bainbridge. They were doing some of that kind of thing. But, well, I, you know, the 250, it give, that gives us some leeway to go whichever direction we might need to go between 2022 and 2028, I think.
All right. Listen to what Commissioner Hagerbuck said. It's something that we need to look at, and we need to look at quickly, you know, and just move forward. If we're going to move forward, we need to get somebody in here to make an assessment of the jail, see what we really want to do with it or what we can do with it.
And another question, Commissioner Felton, another question I have. On Whitewater Park, do we state as park manager's house improvement, $60,000, and where did that total come from? Where did that come from?
Will it take $60,000? With David, I asked David to go out there and look at it, and he went out there and looked at it, and he basically, but he's the one that actually gave me the figure to put in the splash.
This Commissioner Hagerbuck, I think the biggest thing I see in this whole thing is we're really on a tight budget to get this thing done, and we really didn't have a really good intel into what all these things. It would have been nice back in March or sometime or February, we could have been planning this thing with a little bit more precise stuff, like an engine. Like an architect or an engineer or somebody to tell us on this, like you said, on this house improvements, what's it really going to cost us? And like I said, the jail, if we fix the jail, do we know that's right? Or are we needing...
Exactly.
It's hard to plan, and I'm afraid we vote on some of this stuff and then we might look like idiots or something because things were way off from what they should have been, either way under or way over.
Yeah, and Commissioner Felton, you know, the more I think about it, and I know it from the beginning, I said, let's do it in you know, 3 weeks' time before we, you know, can get it done. But I think now that we really should wait, maybe have a special election and just hold the cities back until we get, you know, get our ducks in a row before we just inadvertently be pulling numbers and throwing stuff, you know. Out there, I think if we go back to them and let them know, maybe, you know, we might have to fund the election, but I think they'll be willing to listen.
That $10,000 or whatever that figure is may say was a big blunder on of $50,000 or $60,000 or $70,000.
Right, and again, if it's $10,000, you're talking about what? $2,000 a piece or something like that.
Yeah.
For
our
county.
Percentage.
Yeah,
or if we take percentage.
Well, it might sound better. Yeah, our percentage. We'll pay the biggest part of it.
Oh, I was trying to figure out why we couldn't put the gate repairs or for the dam in there. I was kind of thinking that was the biggest project that needs to be looked at since that gate has been torn up. But I don't know, just have a splice, and the only thing we're getting out of it for Whitewater Park is the house. You know, what about improvements to the splash pad or doing addition to the splash pad? Well, that would be something that I think our citizens could use. Or,
well, the biggest thing I see, Commissioner Melvin, is what you just said. What if that damn bust again? Then we really got a problem.
Right. So I really want to see that in there because we know it's an issue, and we're not addressing it. We don't know what the issue is.
We've been talking to Commissioner Oliver's. I think he's been mentioning that. He mentioned that probably back in January or earlier than that. And we thought we had a little help from Representative Bishop, but that fell through. He couldn't get the they couldn't get the Corps of Engineers to come in and do anything, so we were not able to do get anything going from that. But I think there'll be a fine line between, you know, if it. I don't exactly know what the issue is, but I think Commissioner Oliver certainly knows. He looked at it and talked, and I think that, you know, from what I've understood him say, you know, there's some debris caught under it, a log or something like that. And if that's true, and again, this would be something that we'd have to get some clarification, legal advice and stuff on, but, you know, you get a log caught under your gate, that's not a splosh project. That's maintenance. And I don't know if it'd be a qualifying project, but, you know, I don't know if we wait for a special election in March or whatever, whether we'll have time to get all those details. And again, yeah, you know, I think one of the things you have to think about is we, you know, these numbers are not by any means the exact number.
Right.
You know, we've got 135,000 each for an ambulance in there, but by 2028, an ambulance might cost $190,000. You know, so you're planning for that kind of time period. It's very difficult. You get an engineer, and you'd have to pay an engineer to look at the house. And so my thinking, and it's what I've heard other people in some of the training sessions, you put $60,000 in for the park manager's residence, and when the $60,000, you know, the deal is that's just a parameter. And if it costs $70,000, we got to decide whether we're going to put floor coverings on the floor or let them walk on wood until we can get more money in order to get. And, you know, of course, some of these things, there is a possibility we can supplement them with grants. There's not going to be a lot of grant money out there because, you know, everybody's cutting back. And state budgets are being cut 13%, so they're not. None of these people are going to have a lot of money. But for some things, somebody might come up, you know, with a fire engine, anything related to safety. We might be able to get some grants to help fund the cost. But I just really don't know. That we'd be, if we go for a special election, I don't know that we'll be in March. I'm not sure we'll be a whole lot further along than we are right now in pinning down some of these details. But you know, with whatever the group wants to do, whatever we decide.
Commissioner Felton, if these projects are underfunded, it might end up like that gymnasium that we have funds for, but we don't have enough to go forth with it. Then we're just sitting on the money, and we really don't have a lot of revenue growth in our county, you know, other than property taxes, and we can't continue to, you know, raise property taxes on people. So to fund it properly would, you know, merit the worst than just, you know, throwing numbers out there and not having the funds to do the project with. We're still at the same point.
Mr. Chairman, I kind of go along with Richmond on that. When we said ambulances, they have 135 maybe now, but what are they going to be in 6 years? So my question would be, why don't we project something and say, well, instead of 135, why don't we say it's 155? I mean, why aren't we making some kind of some kind of inflation factor for future years and say, when are we going to really buy these things? And put that as the figure we're going to put toward the splosh. And not just look at something today and say, well, they're selling for 135 now. Well, let's look at it. Is it going to be 5 years before we buy one? Look at what the inflation's going to do. And put that figure in there. Make some good estimates is what I'm thinking.
Well, I mean, I can't argue with making good estimates, but I don't know that, you know, kicking the can down the road is going to get us any better estimate than what we've got. You know, the way I look at it, you got 270,000 in there, and if they go to 225 apiece, then you ain't going to get two. You're going to get one.
Right.
Yeah. And do the best you can with it, but.
Well, that gets back to when you said about the ambulances. We talked about getting those small ambulances too.
Yeah. And we can do that. I mean, we can still do that.
Yeah. Maybe one big one and one small one.
But I just think we, you know, I personally think the estimates are on. What's projected here are close enough that, you know, you may have people accuse us of being idiots, but, you know, they couldn't do any better when you've got 6 to 8 years to do something. And before you know, the money's coming in and, you know, you just have to project what you can project. Whatever group wants to do. Yeah, Carl.
I've been out and looked at the house at Whitewater, looked all up under it, in the attic, and looked at the roof and that sort of stuff, and I just honestly can't see where it needs $60,000 spent on it today. I would have guessed $30,000. And on the dam, I can't see a real big fix on that dam. It's just something that needs to be taken care of. I don't see a whole lot of money there.
But that's, you know, first observation. Again, it's we're not going to make it like the Kilton.
Yeah, make it decent.
Yeah, yeah. But of course, they're having trouble. I talked to Darren out there. I went out and looked about the picnic tables and the grills because they were on there. And, you know, I basically was going to buy 30 at one time. And he'd done, there's some of the tables are in bad shape, and they weren't – the frames are good, but the tops are bad, and it's kind of bad PR for the campers because some of that – what lumber we use, the sap's coming out and the urethane's peeling off. And they're looking kind of rugged, but I told him, you know, we don't need to buy 30 tapers at one time. We need to put that gradually in the budget and look for options how we might can get them and get them put together, you know, buy some wood, let the prisoners that come out there try to contract, do some stuff, be a little creative and not buy them all at once. But you know, as I was talking with him, he said that they were having a really hard time getting anybody, a contractor, to even be interested in coming down and remodeling the place. So he was thinking they may have to end up doing the contracting themselves, which if they do and they can do that, then that's probably going to make it cheaper. If you contract it out yourself, you save the percentage off for the general contractor. So you may be, you know, kind of in the ballpark with what they're talking about there. And, of course, that would be a good thing because all we said was we're going to make park manager house improvements. If we can get them done for $30,000, then that leaves us $30,000 that we can move to another category and do something else with. And,
well, it's designated as park manager's house improvement.
But all you have to do is make the improvements that are appropriate for the need that you
right.
have. You don't have
well,
to
you
spend
do
all the spend it.
Well, if you have it designated as park manager's house improvement, what do you do with the other 30,000?
You can move it into roads. It can go into another project. The SPLOST rules allow that. And
yeah.
if it's so specific, you certainly could do another project at Whitewater, as long as you keep it in the same department. And I don't know, you could even probably stretch it to do something with recreation, since it's parks and recreation. Might be if you put all those together, that would allow that using funds somewhere else a little easier. You could get a little picky. Of course, the thing about it is nobody's ever going to do anything unless someone contests it. And like if we said we're going to do improvements at the park manager's house, and all we did was paint and change the locks, that's probably not the improvements that we're talking about. That'd be considered basically maintenance. And then somebody wanted to contest that and say, you said you were going to fix up Whitewater so you could have a place for the director to live, then you didn't really fulfill what you said you were going to do. But, we've done that a few times on roads, too. So we're going to do roads, and we've basically done very little roads improvements with SPLOST recently.
So, well, could we say Whitewater Park improvements? Be a little more general with it.
When this stuff is wording and put in the referendum, it's not going to be this specific. It's going to say capital improvements, Whitewater Park, jail, courthouse. It's not going to be specific like it is on this paper. This is just a guide for y'all to look at to see what kind of money, what's being proposed to put in there. But the general public is not going to have this list. There's just going to be a very general list that's going to say improvements and list the departments themselves where the improvements are going to be.
Mm-hmm. I have one final question dealing with that. We got courthouse down there. We got general government buildings. Why can't they be put together so that way if we had some money left over in the courthouse improvements but we had another building that needed something, I mean, is there some reason they don't go together, or is that the auxiliary buildings are not considered?
Well, the general government buildings are the other buildings beside the courthouse. It's the annex building, the
right the auxiliary building,
and yes, right.
But my question is, you can't lump those two together. Is that correct?
Well, typically, I mean, courthouse is specific in the SPLOST law,
yeah.
So that's why.
Okay. I'm just asking the general question. Okay.
I have one other question. Ferry Landing, old Ferry Landing. What have you found out as far as funding on that? And will the state participate in it, or will we have to pay for that?
What I found out, Mr. Felton, and we're way too premature to start trying to do anything, I think, with this SPLOST on that, because what we were told is that what needed to be done, and we were left with information on what needed to be done. And that Lance knew all about it. Well, Lance felt like it was a done deal for the state that they were going to do the boat dock and the boat ramp. And I'm still waiting on the guy to get back to me. They've been real busy with COVID regulations and all kinds of stuff they're doing. But in talking to Lance, and then also texted the county manager, former county manager, and learned that there's no agreement in writing from the state. So it's just a discussion at this point. They haven't made any commitment other than verbal. But I think Mr. Bishop is on board and knows the need and knows what we're trying to do. And I think he's receptive to it. He just doesn't control all the purse strings. So there's no written agreement. But Lance's understanding was that, and what he's working on, and that the former county managers had him working on, is moving the road instead of using the old road bed and going the way
right.
it is now, going to the dock, to the boat ramp and the dock that
right.
they were going to put in. They're going to move up the road
there,
cut it across, and put it through. And
mm-hmm.
that's the, as County Roseland sent out to you, everybody, that's going to be about $370,000 the cost for that. And I guess technically, if we wanted to do that, we could call that roads and transportation and put that in the T-SPLOS, or pay for it out of T-SPLOS funds or SPLOS funds, or in both, mix them, and redo that road, that $370,000. And then we've got to buy the land, so you're talking roughly $400,000 that the county's got to come up with. Lance was not
mm-hmm.
sure in the done deal that he thought was a done deal, but the state said they were going to pay the parking lot or not. He said it could have been maybe that it was just the dock and the ramp improvements that they were going to handle. But I can't,
mm-hmm.
I won't do that until Mr. Bishop gets back to me, because Regina texted me back and said there was no written agreement on the project from between her or anybody and the state. So I think we're, you know, we got some option there if we want to use $100,000 to reroute the road. That's a legitimate expenditure.
Mm-hmm.
If you group it in with everything else that needs to be done. But, of course, the old road is longer, and it's, you know, coming up that hill, it's hard to maintain.
Right.
Difficult.
Right.
So making a new road to the boat road
would be nice. And
Yeah.
And it has some historical significance in the fact that it's the last fair in the state of Georgia.
Right.
And it ties in with tourism, you know. And I just think it would be a good thing.
And options to help, you know, we could, you know, he put together a pretty significant project for that. But I don't know that that's something we want to put, although we could. Now we've got $1.2 million in road improvements. But if you put that in this SPLOS, then you're not going to have any money until November of – well, you're not even going to have that much money in November 2022. It'd be 23 or 24 before you'd have
right.
enough money to do that. So, you know, mm-hmm. it might be best to look at it out of what we've got. And see if we make it, you know, if everybody's willing to make a decision to do that versus spending the roads money somewhere else. But it has ramifications for future, you know, like you said, with the site. And it is a road project, because they do have to maintain that road to some degree now. I don't know how often they
Well, I just hate to see it fall by the wayside. There's a lot of activity that goes on out there. Again, I think it, you know, would be a benefit to the county.
Well, there's no doubt about that. I don't think anybody would disagree with that. But, I guess the thing is, whether we're saying it needs to be put on this SPLOS, if it is, then you're not going to be able to use the money. You could always borrow the money, go ahead and build it, and then pay it back when this SPLOS is approved.
As long as it can be tied in the roads or something like that, we can take it out if we so desire. And I'll be fine with that. Yeah, that would be an option.
I think we could legally do that. It's just the decision that the commissioners would have to make on priorities. We know when we talk about what's priority as far as roads.
Mm-hmm.
But it has some far-reaching benefits for the county, for sure. All right. We've beat this to death, and we need to just – and I heard discussion, a little bit of discussion about we needed to put it off either for a special election or go ahead and do it in 2022 when we renew the T-SPLOS and just see what the voters do. That's our two choices. Well, actually, our three choices. So I'm open this time.
Mr. Chairman, we do need improvements to the splash pad in there. You know, we're talking about locking in for 8 years, and these projects we have, I just don't, they're good projects. They're all good projects, but there are more projects out there. Improvements to the splash pad, I think that place is going to need some work within 8 years or an expansion or something on it. So I wish what Roseland said may work. Once we put it on the ballot, it's going to be generic or whatever, but this, for a splash project, we got one project for Whitewater Park. Anyway, we move forward with them if the board agrees.
That's the thing I said at last meeting, is about the fact that you really need to sit down and you really need to think hard about the future. You're talking about, 8 years on down the line. What do you want to see for your recreation program? What do you want to see out at Whitewater? Do you want it to stay like it is and we just maintain it, or do you want to make some big improvements out there for tourism? Those kind of things you need to think about, because now's the time to do it so that you can get the funding to do it with the splice.
Any other comments or suggestion on direction?
I have one other question I'd like to ask on the Macon County EMS. What is that pre-engineered building you would be used for?
The building? It's to house the ambulances.
I know Carl had alluded to the fact of that building over at the hospital. That couldn't be used for something?
I'm not sure if it could be used for or not. I don't know how much it would actually cost to move that building. If it would be worth moving, I really don't know.
I checked on it. There's a man here in Macon County that does metal buildings, said he would move it for $9,000. And he said it would actually be worth moving if you had to replace the skin on it. The outside metal. Hello, am I still here?
Yeah. Well, that's, I don't know if this the 40 by 60 by 16 is pre-engineered building or not. It has climate control. I know we had talked about, and they, all these people tell us that the ambulance building being a bit climate control to lengthen their life. But I don't know if this building has it or not. That's proposed here. But that one, in order to make that one climate control, you'd have to do a good bit. and put the doors on it. They have to have doors on the front.
Most of the ambulances are made climate control on the inside now when you plug them up. Put them in the building, plug them up. Of course, doors that need to be put on the front, I agree with that. But I don't see any reason why we shouldn't use that building. I mean, $9,000 versus $50,000.
Yeah, 106. Mr. Chairman, I see. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, I think there are a lot of questions we got here, and I know each department has given us something. I think each of us, at least I would, like to go back, and it sounds like all the commissions got certain things they would like to see. I would suggest that we do move it to the March special election. That would be my recommendation. I can put it in a motion. And it gives each of the commissioners time to go look at the special interests they have in the different departments and come up with some things they want to talk to the different departments about and come up with a little more, either more precise or some additional things we would like to see. Hopefully still come back with the money we need for those roads. I'm always in agreement with the road part of it, but can we move things around in the other parts? So I'd make a motion we postpone it until March for the special election.
All right, Commissioner Hogaboth made a motion to postpone the SPLOST to special election in March. Is there a second?
Second, Commissioner Oliver.
Commissioner Oliver seconds. Is there any further discussion? I have one point of discussion. I think the cities were pretty solid that paying money for a special election was a waste, and they didn't seem to support that, including the major city. Mayor Smith spoke up at the meeting, and so they're not going to be receptive to paying a share of their percentage of what they're going to pay, of what it's going to cost to have the special election. So I think we probably need to address in our motion, or we can address it later once they refuse, about whether we're willing to pay for the whole thing pay for the special election out of our share.
So versus calling us, well, I was trying to see, can we, if we took the time and came back with our suggestions, maybe Tuesday, Wednesday of next week, will it still be too late? You know, just some suggestions. Does that mean we just got a lot of homework to do right quick? Is there anything else besides what in March? Is there another election going on for anything? Or are we just going to do the SPLOST? Or
it's 2021, it would be a special election just for the SPLOST.
Right. Would that hurt the chance of getting SPLOST? That's my question.
That's the question I was trying to get at.
Typically, a special election is better for a SPLOST.
Really? It's better for it?
Better for it. You have fewer turnout. Most of your turnout is going to be pro-SPLOST. Almost all of our SPLOSTs have been special elections. But that's up to you. I mean, you can go ahead with the general. You have a larger turnout in the general, obviously, this year with the presidential. So, you know, people go down that list and vote no on a bunch of stuff, you know. But, you know, nobody knows. But typically, a special election works better for a SPLOST, but...
Okay.
Because you have lower turnout, and people turn out are usually for the SPLOST, typically.
Okay.
All right. Any further discussion? Hearing none, we'll have a roll call vote, yes or no, to defer the SPLOST.
Do we ever have a second? Do we have a second on Ben's motion?
Call seconded it.
Oliver did. Okay,
yeah,
Oliver,
Carl
did.
Right.
Okay, you got it. I'm sorry.
No problem. Commissioner Felton.
Yes.
Mr. Hagebuck.
Yes.
Commissioner Melvin.
Yes.
Commissioner Oliver.
Yes.
The chair votes no. That's 4-1 in favor of moving the SPLOST to special election in March of 2021. Y'all confused me because I just looked back at the approval denial of the minutes of May 20th, 21, and I thought, what year are we in? that motion passed. So county manager will notify cities of the decision. Yes, their project, the city's project, will probably stay the same. So, but they can still have the option to modify them, I suppose, and give them a deadline date for modification. And we will not take any action tonight on whether or not we'll bear the total cost burden. We will, I guess, we wait, or we can if you want to. What's the wishes of the commissioner? Do we want to take any action on that, or we want to wait and see what the reaction of the cities is?
I would say wait and let them, if they decide against it, then we'll take it. But I wouldn't put that in the minutes. I would just say we wait and see what they say. On whether they want to pay any of this special election or not.
I think if they hear the same explanation that we just had, they'd be willing to participate.
Well, I thought we had that same explanation the last time when we were talking about it.
Well, I thought so too, but I think they jumped to conclusions and just went ahead and wanted to save the $10,000 and didn't think about the long run.
Right. Okay. John, question. There's no is there any kind of legal mandate that they have to pay their share if the county calls the election? I know we have total authority to call the election, I think.
I'd have to check into that, but I would think since they're benefiting from the election, they would have to pay their fair share.
Okay. Check that for us, just a legal opinion on it before
okay.
we. That would, if there's a legal opinion on it, then that'll settle the discussion, whatever. Yeah.
We'll check with the elections and people, find out.
Okay. All right. Let's move on then to the county manager recruitment. Discuss county manager recruitment. And we've got a few things in the packet that I asked the staff to put in. One was the county manager ordinance. The other was the official county manager job description. And the other one was the ad that I think was done for some previous county manager position. But if you would think, there's a sheet in there that says county manager recruitment discussion. What I'd like to do is, before we start discussing the other document that's been included, I would like to go over that document and get some consensus from everyone on a few of the items that I've listed there. And number one item is what will be our target goal for starting to advertise, and then said end date or advertise until the position is filled. And what I meant by that, those last two questions, was that's just a way of advertising. You pick a start date some people pick a start date and end date and say all applications have to be in by a certain date. And what that does is that restricts you. You can't really make a decision on somebody until that date ends. And then you have to take applications up through that date and give them the same due consideration that you've given all the applications. If you advertise until the position is filled and you so state that in the ad, then as soon as applications start coming in, you can start screening them and interviewing the ones that you want to interview. And if you find somebody that you want to make the offer to, you can go ahead and make the offer and fill the position. And we'll not have to wait until some date a month later, or 3 weeks later, or 4 weeks. But there again, I just wanted to bring that up and get a consensus from people on how we'd like to do that. So I guess we go back, like, is there a suggestion on start date? I'm kind of looking for July 1, start July 1. But if there's anything else you want to bring up related to that, so that's just a suggestion.
Question there would be, I guess most counties are on the same fiscal year we own, are all on the same as a June 30th ending?
No, they're mixed.
They're mixed.
Yeah.
I guess the question be there, Mr. Chairman, is if we started maybe the middle of this month starting the advertising, this is just popping off the top of my head, then if somebody's really thinking about moving from another county, they may want to go ahead and interview. So if it fits their thing, they may want to say, well, if I'm going to do this, I'd like to give the commissioners in this other county a chance to go ahead and be looking for somebody in the new fiscal year. Of course, like you said, everybody's not on the same one we're on, so maybe July 1's okay.
Yeah, well, if you started tomorrow, you could go through the process and select somebody.
Yeah.
Time to give them a notice by the start of the new fiscal year. I don't think.
Yeah, I realize that, but at least they would know ahead of time what, you know, their thoughts of wanting to do something. But I guess because it's a mixed bag with counties anyway as to when their year ends, and probably that's, I think July 1 would be fine.
Any other comments?
I agree with July 1 as well. Commissioner Melvin.
And how do you want to phrase that advertising? You want to put an end date, or you want to put it advertise until it's filled?
I would say advertise position until filled.
I agree, Commissioner Hogbook.
Any disagreement on that?
I agree.
Whatever we come up with, we'll show everybody. I mean, we'll let everybody look at it again before we actually do it. And the next item, number 2, is like the job description and the county manager ordinance are the 2 documents that we kind of live by. They're lengthy, and if you're talking about doing an ad, doing either one of them by themselves or doing parts of both of them would get pretty lengthy. And so one of the things that a lot of people do when they advertise, they put just a synopsis or a summary of maybe skills that we're looking for, or a general summary of duties, and then they put the other stuff on the website and tell the people to go to the website for a more thorough explanation of the position. That's a good way to do it, I think, but that we don't have to do it that way. We got some other ideas. But
I think that'll be a good way to just hold people know what they're getting themselves into, you know what I mean?
Yeah. All right. And some of the any other comments about that? Pro or con? All right. What kind of, I guess the next thing we need some input on is what education level. You can look at the job description and the county manager orders. I don't think it addresses.
County manager orders, but.
Let's talk to her. The job description has minimum qualifications, and but it doesn't. It actually doesn't have. I looked earlier, and I was going to look again because I couldn't really believe that. It doesn't have education, minimum education requirements.
Chairman.
Yes.
Carl Oliver, I thought my thoughts are that a county manager in Macon County should have at least a master's in business administration or some sort of management.
Right. Okay. Suggestion that need at least a master's in business or management, some related field to business.
Or human resources.
Maybe even, you know, there's a master's degree in government operations too.
Right. I think you could put a bachelor's degree if they have at least a certain amount of years, and I think we'd play it by ear. And then if they only got, say they've got 4 years with a master's degree, or they have a bachelor's degree with maybe 8 or 10 years experience, you know, on the job training has a lot to do with it too.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Felsen, I agree with Ben. I think a bachelor's degree with experience would be what we're looking at.
What kind of experience are we talking about?
See, I was thinking more of accounting and
management.
Right.
Accounting and management would be your best too, especially when you get into budgeting and also when you try to handle the people and everything. Management would also incorporate in that. In an accounting degree, you have to take several management courses. I know because I had to do that.
I think accounting is going to be the main one.
But it needs some kind of financial background and some background in finance and some experience in finance.
There's a lot more. There's a lot more.
You get all that. You get all that in your bachelor's degree. At least I know at Georgia you do. You get two or three courses in money and banking, finance, you get several courses in economics. You get several management courses. You get marketing. You get them all. So it's the accounting field has the most broad feel of all of them. That's where you don't see that many people in the accounting. Unfortunately.
Nobody but Ben.
Yeah, some of us ain't got any sense. How about that? I'm still having to go to school every year.
So I have two, I guess, a couple of you are saying minimum of a bachelor's.
Right.
Commissioner Oliver was thinking a master's.
I think a master's, if you didn't have at least 5 years experience in or more, you would need a master's.
You can't listen like that. We can't put a master's.
Yeah, I know it. I think that would just come down to us looking at all the resumes.
Minimum level.
Minimum level would be bachelor's in accounting or management or some kind of in the business type field, government, even in government. You know, I had to take government accounting when I was in college. You know, that's part of the accounting degree.
So, a bachelor's degree in business or government field
with a major in either accounting or government or business. Yeah, something to that effect.
All right. Any other comments? And do you want to say master's preferred?
Yeah, we could do that.
That's a good idea.
All right. And we talked about experience. How many years experience in, like, we want somebody with experience, so many years experience in government work?
Yeah.
Counties or cities?
At least 5.
Yeah, minimum 5 years would be good.
And, Mr. Chairman, does it necessarily have to be government or just management? There are people that are in management could definitely handle a county that manage other things.
Yeah. I don't think you have to. You don't have to limit it. It's just, you know, with all the specialty rules and stuff, it's a lot easier, but that doesn't mean that somebody, like you said, somebody managing a hospital or, you know, a private hospital or a private business or anything that certainly has the skills and the knowledge to do it.
Well, I think that someone who has experience with local government or county government has an edge over someone else, you know, that might have management skills. I mean, it's different.
I don't think Regina had a whole lot of county management skills when she came here, right?
Who did?
Yeah, she did. She had a lot of.
She worked for the city of Macon. Yeah,
city of Macon for a long time.
Right. Yeah, she had budget and management experience.
And a master's in public administration too.
Right.
Well, I think we put the minimums in there so we just don't get everybody flocking in there and won't send us a resume. I think we need to. I think at least the 5 years. I think you say a county and a management, and then we take the resumes and look at people that have experience in the government side. They're gonna be prioritized over somebody in a manufacturing with an accounting degree, let's say. But some businesses, you know, they do budgets too, so you know, all of it works. But at the same time. I think you put out a minimum to weed out the people. Just, you know, you go get resumes that you might as well just throw it to the side immediately. You know what I'm saying? And I think you just put experience and a minimum degree. And I think the minimum degree should be leaning in the business world, whether it be government or private, but it could be either one. Again, you do have to do budgets in the private world too. I'm sure that IP has budget stuff all the time to deal with. You know, somebody like that, maybe is an accountant with them or something, could possibly fit our mold. The biggest thing with government is it's a nonprofit, and that's the difference between the profit and the nonprofit. You have to gear your mind to the other side. But you could take a nonprofit accounting person that probably could move into the county side pretty easy, just into the government side pretty easy.
All right. I think we can come up with something and let everybody look at it, see how it sounds when you read it. Our next thing is skills. If there are any special skills that we like, if you look at the job description, it actually has down there under knowledge required by the position. I don't necessarily know that the knowledge, based on our discussion we just had, but some of it, budgetary principles and practices, supervisory principles and practices, skill in planning, organizing. I think we can pick enough of those to hit, unless somebody's got something that's not there that you'd like to see.
Human resources management.
Okay.
It says knowledge of human resources, principles, and laws.
It's what now, Rosalind?
It says knowledge of human resource principles and laws.
Okay. Yeah, it's number four. If you look at 1, 2, 3, 4, right, number four.
Yeah, but that might be one though you'd want to specify a little more is skills. You know, you can know the laws and principles and still not do them.
Thank you. I would like to see grant writing on there, since most of our things we're going to be doing is grant writing. Not saying that's going to tie him or her up, but we need someone that's able to put these grants and stuff together, especially when it comes to these road projects and trying to get equipment and things of that nature.
I agree.
I think most of the grants should come from contracting services. I think that's been one of our problems, is we have to focus our people on grants too much instead of managing. We can contract people on that.
Well, I'm fine with that, man, if we want to contract it out, but I was just saying, just in case, you know.
Most times on those grants, they do them for a percentage, so it wouldn't really cost the county a whole lot, I don't think. Well, let me ask you a question on two. Are we going to put a salary range down? I see it's on there.
Yeah, it's down there. We're going to get to it next as soon as we get skilled.
Hey, that's what Richmond likes. Look, Richmond's always in the numbers.
No, I see that, but I'm, you know.
I mean, we don't have to put a salary range. I wanted to discuss that, though, because I want input from everybody. But let me tell you.
I would say salary range based on education and experience.
Ben, hold on a minute. Let me go back to the numbers, but grant writing. How do we want to word that? You want to put it or don't put it in there at all?
Well, one idea he had, capable to do it, but it may get contracted out. I don't know how we could word it or not put it in there at all, but we would like to have somebody that does have that skill in case.
No. Well, you could do something like oversight for grant writing.
There you go.
I mean, do it.
Right.
Right.
Yep, that'd be a good way to do it.
Right.
Do we have an old application? Do we have an application that we did with Regina? Did she apply?
No, we had the advertisement. We don't have an application. She sent a resume. And we always have everybody that applied to fill out our standard application form, because there's some stuff on there that's valuable. Instead, ask stuff like, have you ever been charged with or convicted of a felony or this and that? And people don't usually put that in the resumes. But this asks, that application asks you a direct question. So, and we interview people and get down to the narrowing down, we always ask them to fill out that standard application for the county so that they have to respond to the direct questions.
Mr. Chairman, you could put a salary range in there if you wanted to, but you could leave it off. Either way, if you put it in there, I would say it's based on educational level and experience.
I just put a starting salary, starting at and based on experience. At least this, and then based on experience.
Well, if you do that, you probably need to put a range in there, because.
All right.
If you start with a low salary, you may not get a good quality person. I think you need to go with what we've had so far, maybe starting in the 60s or whatever we did before, and move it up to maybe as high as 80, 85,000, because that's kind of what we got in the budget. And then say based on experience and educational.
All right. They won't even put a salary range. They will leave it open.
Yeah, just leave it open based on experience and education.
All right, I've seen some jobs that leave it open. They wouldn't even put a salary range. They'll just wait and see what your range is, you know what I mean? See how they interview.
Yeah, let them come in and tell us what they're willing to work for.
Yeah, well, we did, you know, we did that one time, last time, and we interviewed some people, you know, that looked good, and their resumes and everything looked good. And when we told them what the salary was, they said, well, I wouldn't even consider it for that. I said, I had known that, I would not have even interviewed. We had a couple of people say that. The other one was not.
You could put in there based on experiences and education. You could say if you would like to submit what kind of salary range you're looking at when they send in their resume, then they could tell us right off the hand. We'd say they're out of our league, and we wouldn't waste their time, and they wouldn't waste our time, and we would write them back and say, "I'm sorry, but your range is way too high for our budget."
I kind of like Carl's idea of just putting a minimum. I mean, the minimum we're willing to pay, and then say salary is based on something, you know, put a minimum and then say starting salary based on experience and education.
You still got that benchmark sheet we had a while back when we was looking at county manager salaries, you know?
Yeah. Oh, no, I don't have that.
I tell you what we need to do is find out what some of the other smaller counties are paying, so at least we got something to give us a starting point.
It's all over the place, you know. And there's no rhyme or reason to it. But you know, we passed that out and discussed that at one of our meetings when we were talking to Regina about salary. And you know, there's look at the size, and actually the sizes of counties, the salaries were significantly lower than our starting salary for her.
The chairman.
Yes,
sir. Well, you know, I think everybody knows as well as I know, if we want a good county manager, we're going to have to pay them. If you throw the bar too low, that's what you're going to get. And I think we ought to start at least at what our county managers were making. The county managers that we just had in attempt to draw a good county manager.
Well, you can't raise as quick if you start them too high, Carl. I think just like when I hire people that are staff accountants or CPAs or whatever, if you start them too high, plus you got to also realize you may hire somebody that looks mighty good, and 2 months later you say, why did I agree to pay this much? I think you start. Let's say we were paying 87, 88. I mean, we were finishing paying 90 something. But let's say you start at say 70,000. In other words, if we look at these other counties and they're paying 65, we may pick up somebody from another county if we start at say 70 or 75. But I don't think you start all the way to the top, because the manager has to kind of earn those increases. If you start them right where the other one was, you got to worry about how much you're going to pay next year, because let me tell you, they're going to ask for raises.
But I understand that, but we offered her, I forget how much, what was the number? What did we offer Regina to stay?
Yeah, but she already had a lot of knowledge and experience, and knowing what our county does, this new person is going to be, I mean, even though they may come from another county already with experience, they still got to learn a lot of things about the personnel and everything else. And, you know, I'm just saying, if you start it too high and then all of a sudden they want a 5% raise and you say, I can't because I've got you started too high, the budget won't allow it, they may leave right after that. You got to start them at a certain thing and move them up.
I'm just agreeing
with you on that.
My question is, start
with a minimum and then base it on experience.
That's right.
You know, our minimum salary is such and such, and if they come with more experience, then, you know, it's negotiable. Because the people that really, the good ones, you know, are not going to really come cheap anyway. I mean, you're going to have to pay them.
Yeah,
exactly.
You can say minimum salary is... Minimum. You could say minimum salary is 65 or 70, but that's negotiable based on salary, based on experience and education.
Well, you could do this. Right. You could just go negotiable from the very beginning.
Yep. Well, that was my point. I'm saying let them tell us what they want.
Set their own salary. I agree with that.
Yep.
Well, once we post these ads, once they get the ads get out, we do have a lot of people calling. The first thing they want, they're going to ask is, "What is the minimum salary?"
Before and they tell them it's based on experience and other things. Send a resume to us, and from there we'll have an interview with them and let them know. And if they, you know, I think you do that.
Okay.
Just put on the application. What's expect? What did they expect?
Yeah. What do you expect? They can put that in their application to us. What do you expect to start at?
I agree with that. Oh, we've got to have some parameters on where we're going to go with it when that comes. I still think you need to post the minimum.
All right, let's tell you what let's do on this item. We're still a little bit scattered on opinion. Let's think about that. Maybe we can come up with, I can do a little research on the surrounding counties. I might be able to find that somewhere in my notes.
Yeah, and come up with a figure at our work session and finish that one up with that.
Yeah, it's not going to help us a lot looking at those salaries because they're all over the place. And said there's no rhyme or reason about it. There's counties lower, there's counties smaller than ours and making more than our county. Anyway, anything else that we need to think about or consider? Just that's under the et cetera, etc. And we just think about that, and we can throw that in. You can call or something. What we'll do is kind of work up something, and we'll modify it. Look at it one more time. So just think of some things we didn't ask, and as you look through the job description, if you want to put something in there, we can do that. Of course, the other thing that I wanted to get input on. I would suggest that we not have any applications by website. Wait a minute, I'm ahead of myself here. I got that. That's the last thing. The question I was looking at there is ask the candidates that are in the ad, we'll ask them to go to the website for more detail. I think we kind of agreed on that earlier. But we'll put this in our job announcement, and we can change it again if we need to. And then where to advertise? I think we advertise everywhere that they'll post it for us. Local outlets, the website, ACCG, GMA, everywhere. And then that last thing about the applications, got ahead of myself. Saying I think we should not accept online applications. I think we need applications by U.S. mail, FedEx, UPS, or by hand, and they need to be sealed in a sealed envelope. And I would suggest that we have those applications addressed to a specific person. And some other counties have done it. They just said search coordinator, county manager, search coordinator, and many times it's one of the commissioners. And so all the mail that comes in to the office, the commission office, is stamped and dated time it came in, how it came in, and then it's not opened. It's passed on to the search coordinator to handle that. And put the applications together, and then you know if we start sitting down and screening them, then we'll have to make copies. But we'll get office staff to do that. But that's what I suggest. We don't have to do it that way. But it, you know, just by experience, that's a good way to do it. Whatever you think about it.
I think it looked more professional to having, say, a search coordinator with a commissioner or whatever, or even the chairman, whoever, and let it look like that they've got a, they're really going to look at you and scrutinize you.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I got one more question, and I'll be done. Are we going to turn this over when we advertise also to a recruiter, as Regina did when she took her new job? Can we do that?
We can.
I think it'd be a good idea. We want to reach out to find the best.
But we can do that. What do we think about it? What rest of everybody think about? There'll be a cost to that. Sometimes it's expensive. Sometimes it's not. And it's that old thing you pay for. You get what you pay for.
Well, I know of a specific person who lived in Macon County. In fact, worked out at Southern Frozen Foods. I'm pretty sure he's retired now. He lives up at, around Athens. He was a headhunter over in Atlanta. Of course, he got several of the coaches that went to university. Got them, and I think he also got Billy Payne now, that's chairman of the Augusta. I could just throw it by him. Dan Parker's his name, and just say, "What would you charge, Dan? And or have you done government experience ones like that?" I'm sure he has. I think he got one of the Georgia presidents one time, found them for the university. And I'd have to ask him what his cost would be if he still. I know he's getting on up. He's probably 72, 73 years old now, maybe 74.
Most of them want you to pay when they find someone for you.
That's true, but you can find out what his fee would be. He could say it's going to be 3% or whatever the, or 5% or whatever the salary is you pay this person.
Well, if we want to do that, I'd like to probably contact ACCG and see if they have somebody.
Yep, you can ask them.
I get emails from headhunters every day.
Yeah, but you got medical training.
Well.
And some of them, some of them, it's just a business to them, and then they don't get. I mean, it's they don't care what the field is, but if they've had experience in government employees, then you know they should do a good job.
So Ben, you're suggesting let the recruiter get all the resumes or find out, put it out there, and recruit people for this particular job, or recruiter gonna do all the interviewing and all this stuff?
He would probably come up with three or four, and he would probably rank them based on what he thinks, and then you would have to look at them. You go ultimately make the deal, just like Regina. She went down there, they interviewed her, but I imagine the recruiters had already looked at other applications too, and I'm sure two or three, I'm sure she wasn't the only one they interviewed the city. I'm sure the headhunter got several. He kind of screened for you is what they do, I think.
Okay.
Is that something we want to think about doing?
I think we think about it, and maybe you contact ACCG and see what they suggest on that, or maybe that's above our level, but they only do that for the bigger, you know, you're looking at something maybe you don't want to do because cost, and maybe, you know, if it's not a Atlanta or Savannah or at least a big city like I think Brunswick is a fairly big city, or at least definitely bigger than we are. You know, maybe it has to be a certain population of 40 or 50,000 people, or 30 or 40,000 before you really need to recruit them, use them to recruit for you.
Why don't you look into it and see what the cost of it is, and then we discuss it from there.
Yeah, I think we do that first and get a cost.
All right, and they probably most of the. Do what?
I said my only last comment is a recruiter hired our county manager away from us, so they do a good job. So I think it's something we should keep in mind.
Oh boy, that's a good one, Carl.
Well, the thing we got to do is find one. I'm not so sure, but I don't know who it was looking, but it could have been somebody with GMA.
We could ask Regina. Regina would tell you who recruited her.
Yeah, that's true.
I think the headhunter or the recruiter is really, even though they're looking for somebody, this other group, what did they employ her? Did she employ that recruiter, or did the city employ the recruiter? You're not really sure who did that.
I don't know.
Well,
let's just explore that, because I'm sure if we're going to go that route, whoever that person or firm is, they're going to want to meet with us, and they put all this stuff together.
That's right.
They wouldn't. They probably would not want us to. I mean, we can talk to them and tell them what we're thinking and what we got, but they probably would not want to use what we're doing. I don't know. That's just my guess.
They're probably going to want an upfront fee. They're probably going to want an upfront fee also.
Yeah, I think they do. The ones in education do. I know.
They do.
Yeah, they would go outside of Georgia, definitely. They would look in throughout the Southeast. I'm sure they would expand their territory to look for somebody.
All right. Well, you want to leave it then that I'll try to find to kind of look into it and locate some people or see if what's out there, ask them about cost and process.
Yeah, I think we need some knowledge on it.
All right. Well, we may be pushing the envelope to get this done by July 1, then, but we'll try. All right. Anything else on this? All right. I'll try to get on that and see what I can find out. All right. Moving on to the next item is the committee process. And I'm not going to talk a lot about it. I pretty much said all I could say, needed to say in the letter I sent you, or communication, I guess it's a letter. So I'll just be open for questions, if you have questions, or if you want to say this is stupid and we don't want to do this and it's not going to help anything, it won't hurt my feelings. But we need to do something because of the content.
Commissioner Felton,
yes, sir.
I think before we venture into that, we need to give more thought to it. I think at some point what we need to do is start calling our department heads in and meet with them. One maybe every month, you know, you call the road department man, come in and let's, you know, voice our concerns and opinion with them and find out exactly what they're doing, why they're doing it, or why they're not doing it. Try to come to a resolve before we start, you know, riding a shotgun over them and let them know what we expect, how we expect what's being said out there. And let's go from there. Right now, I'm not feeling committed.
All right. Any other comments?
I kind of like a little bit more input into what's going on. And the biggest thing is we ever get this new software in, we could start getting some figures every month. Even if it's not a final, we could at least have something close by the last of the month or the first of the next month of the previous month's what took place in the way of finances. Once you can see the finances, then you can see the problems, where the problems are in the different departments. You start looking each month, comparing what happened this month. You know, they got $30,000 over in repairs. You know, well, what happened? You know, we don't see any of that. And I've all my life, I've always had to, I have to look at other people's finances every month. And if I just go in and sit down with them and talk, I can't tell really, unless I see their actual figures and compare it based on year to date or something like that, and say, whoa, you got a problem over here. Well, we can't see that. And if we just, and I don't think we've had, we hadn't had financials to look at that we need to get to. And I think this new system will be able to do that and give us the management tools we need.
Any other comments?
Well, this is Commissioner Melvin. I think I like what you got put together here, but also I like what Richmond said about bringing them in monthly, because we're hearing things and we're seeing things out in the community, and I think the department heads need to hear from every commissioner about what's going on in your department and things of that nature, and we can't get it resolved then. I'll say put a commissioner over a department or work a committee or something of that nature. But I think they need to be called in with their employees are not doing what they should do, or if we get complaints, you know, phone calls coming in to the commissioner's office. I think that department head need to be called in, you know. To see what his or her employees are not doing.
Yeah,
Mr. Chairman, call out.
Yes,
I agree with you 100% on that. I don't mean to disagree with anybody, but I think we should be able to go out and look and give some pointers without micromanaging someone when we see problems on our roads and all of that sort of stuff in a very constructive way and not in a negative way to get things accomplished here in the county.
Well, Carl, you have that, you know, you can do that now. I mean, you can go out to any department, talk with them, ask them questions.
Really?
You know, that I don't foresee a problem with that. You have that right now, but you know, to establish a committee and, you know, kind of tell them, well, this is what, and you have no expertise in what they're doing or exactly why they're doing it. You know, it's easy to stand back and point fingers or make prejudgments when you really don't know what the day-to-day is. That's what I'm saying.
No, I understand. Mm-hmm. I understand.
Just getting the comments from them.
I'm not wanting to get in that part of it. I'm just wanting to hand down some things that we ought to do. In other words, an example. We ought to start on Whitewater Road and go from one end of it to the other and clean out sewer pipes and cut the branches back, at least to the tops of the ditch banks. That's my suggestion. That's what I'm saying. And I'm just using that as an example, Whitewater Road.
Well, you know, my thing is we have problems in all our districts with things that need to be done. Do we have adequate manpower to do them, or why is it not being done? I've all said in the past, why can't we just every week just have the whole crew in District 1 and let them work their week and move them around to different districts instead of one over here or two over here, you know.
I could agree with that also.
on men and get something done. You can't do it all, but just being spread all over the county, everybody's trying to get something done in everybody's district. If there's a need for something to be done, then I don't have a problem going back to District 1. If there's a need to have it done, but I think that,
that's exactly what I'm saying. Commissioner Felton, that's just what I'm saying. I think that we should do just that, exactly what you're saying, but point out some things that need to be done. I mean, we've had a boom mower now since January. It never has even been used, and we got limbs all over District 1 growing all the way out onto the edge of the road that brush your cars when you go down the road. And that's what I'm saying as a committee, that things like that we need to point out, not fuss at anybody.
Right, I understand that, but not only for you to know, but we all would like to know, because things are not being done in all of our districts. And bring them in and find out why. And then see if we can come to some common ground and resolve the issue, instead of me going out, well, Mike, you need to do this. Roseland needs to do that. Let's bring them in and question them and find out why things are not being done the way we expect it to be done.
Any other comments? All right. I gather generally from the conversation that the majority feels like the committee is not the way to do it, that we can wait, and the software will help, and that will help with finances. But we got so many things that are not in place. We like the fuel out there at the camp. We brought that up. We've had Mike in. We've had people talk. We had Regina and Roseland give us reports. We've done doing that for over 12 months. We ain't got nothing yet. And we bring them in, talk to them, and ask them why they're doing this. We don't have any idea yet how old the motor graders are. We don't have stuff put in place in order to be able to see how old the vehicles are, how much is being spent on them. We don't know that until we start questioning, and then it's like a crisis rather than any kind of a proactive way to get a handle on how the county's being managed. And yes, sir.
Excuse me. From my vantage point, what I see is, and I even told Regina that when she first came, we need to prioritize what we're going to do. Let's do whatever we prioritize. We always piling on more and more, and it gets pushed back. Instead of saying, well, okay, we're going to work on this fuel thing. Let's get that done before we go to something else. But we're jumping from here to there to there to there. We're putting all this work off on them, and they're not able to do it all. So let's just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Let's get number one done, then we'll move to number two. Let's have a priority list. Let's prioritize what we need to have done and work on that instead of continuing to just throw things out at them.
We have a priority list in our short-term work plan, but we don't follow it.
Right. Well, we're always adding on more and more and more, and nothing really gets done.
That brought up one thing, y'all. Didn't we have in the original splosh we looked at the other week, didn't they have something about, or was that in the old splosh, about fixing that fuel depot? All of a sudden it's not in there. Was that in the old one? I'm just thinking wrong.
In the old.
Yeah, it's in the old. Well, it's there. Let's get it fixed. Like I said, let's prioritize and get it fixed.
Let's do one thing at a time instead of just continuing to pile on, pile on, and it all gets pushed back.
Okay.
Mr. Bethel, we got sewer pipes over here on this side of the county that hadn't been cleaned out in 10 years.
Got them over on my side too, Carl.
Yeah, and I can't understand why. And what Mike's doing is running all over the whole county putting out fires. He sent here and there and so forth. And he can't concentrate on one area. If he could start at the end of one road and work all the way to the other end of it, fixing it, that would be the way to do it, instead of just running all over the place and fixing the spot here and moving the fix.
Why don't we do districts you know, this week we do District 1, next week District 2, next, you know, and whatever's left, we'll come back when we get back around to do. If it's not a major emergency or something like that. So when you got them out at the landfill, they over on Wheel Miller Road, you know, trying to do this.
We got three guys, 2 weeks up there.
I'm sorry.
We need that mic. We need that mic. Why? Where you at? You're breaking up. I can't hear you.
Well, I think, you know, all that has to do with management. And, you know, we've said, and the manager has to say, I can't do all this. We can't take the roads crew out and fix the landfill, even though we've been directed to fix the landfill or else. So contract that out and get the landfill fixed. Let somebody else fix it. Or,
right.
You know, if we want to keep our people working on the field and putting out fires, then hire somebody else to do the roads and get out of their way and let them do it.
Right.
Have they been told that, though?
Over and over.
Whatever.
Like you were saying, if you want them out at the landfill and they got something else to do, tell them, they, you know, we need to contract somebody else out, hire somebody to do that. Do they know that? Uh-huh. Yeah, we communicated these things with them.
I don't know, because we don't go out there and talk to them and ask them. We've been depending on what the county manager said she told them to do.
Right. But we can require them to come in at our work session. Say this month, Mike come in, next month, you know, David.
Well, we've talked about that, they've come in, and they've shared some valuable information. But now, just like on this new SPLOS, Mike requested a $100,000 machine to clean out the ditches. Well, as we were discussing that, and I was talking to Rosen about it, I said, I just don't think we need we don't need another $100,000 piece of equipment when we don't have somebody that can get on it and stay on it 24 hours a day if they have to get stuff cleaned out. And I did call Mike, ask him about it, and it's some kind of, you know, a super duper pressure washer. And I asked him, had he ever tried using a fire truck and blow the hose out? But for $100,000, you can dig up a lot of pipes and clean them out that way and put a new one in and move the one down to the next one.
What we have to realize is what we're dealing with. We got highly skilled, you know, workers that do that kind of thing. We hire, you know, $9, $10 an hour guys, and Mike said that, and put them on $100,000, $200,000 piece of equipment and expect them to do a great job when you need a $20 or $30 man on that machinery to get the job done. So, you know, that's kind of just to make on both ends.
But as a manager, that's what I'm talking about. But as a manager, if you can't hire the people to get it done, is the answer to keep buying the equipment, or is the answer to look at a new model of getting it done and contract out some stuff? I mean, you know, that's not even management. That's common sense. But, you know, just saying stuff hasn't happened. And we've had them in, and, you know, and I'm not wanting to say we're, you know, in any way just beat up on the employees, because we've got some good employees and they work hard.
Yeah, we do.
And they do it.
That's right.
But we've got some who work really hard for about 2 hours a day, and then they ride around and do stuff the rest of the time. And I don't know if that's lack of organization, if they don't know exactly what to do, but. You know, and see, we go out, and you know, we had lengthy discussions about buying the equipment, and we had this piece of equipment we were going to get. We were going to get that boom mower, this big piece of equipment that we already had. And when the question came up about, well, it's never been, we bought it and it never been used. When Commissioner Oliver brought
never been
up,
used.
I thought, well, Commissioner Oliver must be crazy. That could not possibly be right. Well, guess what? That was right. But there's a logical reason why we haven't got that mower hooked onto that piece of equipment, because that piece of equipment is out at the landfill doing stuff. So, you know, what are we doing? Maintaining the landfill, or are we maintaining the roads for the county? And I think that's back. I agree 100% with what you said, Commissioner Pelton. We need to decide what we're going to do and prioritize it and get on it and get it done and stick to it. But, I'm not real sure how to do that. And that's, you know, I propose this committee thing as a possible. And it, you know, I'm not saying it would work. And I'm not saying that's the way it needs to be done. But, you know, you've got, you know, we have a lot of demands on the county manager, on the previous county manager. We got a lot of demands on Roseland, and she can't be out riding around all day looking at who's doing what and get other stuff done that's critical to the operation of the county. So, you know, we've run into here, there's a bunch of projects that are out there hanging.
Right.
And we don't know what the status of most of them are. Mm-hmm. There's stuff that's been done. There's the technology system. We don't even know exactly what it is they're trying to accomplish. And apparently nobody at the office over there knows, because I have asked. And they've said, Rosalind's struggling trying to read through stuff and dig out files and look so she can make a seamless transition to get things done. But there's wires hanging and there's equipment been installed that we have no idea what it's supposed to accomplish and what it's supposed to do. We don't know if it has to be hooked up before the new accounting system comes in. You know, all that.
Let's call them in and find out why.
Well.
So we'll all know.
Well, you call people in and you get one side of the story. And that's something to go on.
All right, but that's pretty much what will happen with the committee. You know, you're the best side of the commission. You know, but you won't get the other side.
Well, I don't know. You may be right. It may not be possible to get the whole story. But I think what you would do by the committees, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a committee, if we could hire enough managers or assistant managers, you could go out there. You do know what's going on and what's not going on, and you do know that the boom mower hadn't been used, and then you can pursue that and that be the first thing we work on to get the boom mower going to do the work. And, you know, we have requests from the recreation department, and we wanted to order a bunch of bleachers. And, you know, certainly if you don't have programs, you need bleachers. And I went out there just to look. One set of bleachers got grass growed up all around it and got wood pieces on it, and it's about destroyed. It's basically nothing. It's old, very old. You can tell that. But then we got a bunch of other bleachers all the way down the other end. They're just kind of piled up there. But later learned that the bleachers were going to be for the new football program. We got a new football field. And we're going to try to revitalize the football program. Well, I didn't know that. I don't know if anybody knew that. But I certainly didn't know it. And I think we should have known it. I guess if I'd have been hyped up that they were going to be revising the football program and we put a new field out there, we got it ready and we need bleachers, then, you know, I might have been advocating to try to get some general fund money to get some bleachers or get some bleachers donated or something. But, you know, they're putting it on the 22 to 28 SPLOS. Well, are you going to revive the football program and wait till 2022 to buy any bleachers for them, or 2023, 2024? You know, of course, I'm on the other side of that coin. I would be more in favor of reviving the program and seeing how many people are out there without a seat, and then buy the bleachers rather than to buy the bleachers and get ready for them and they don't come. But, you know, in some other counties, people bring lawn chairs, and then they eventually get around to buying the bleachers. But there's no plan. We just got to, you know, and when they come up and make requests, you know, I can't make an intelligent decision on some of the requests, because I don't have any idea what the objective is and what we're pursuing. So that, you know, that's the only thing that I say. And then of course you don't have to have a committee structure, you don't have to have any of that stuff to do that. As I think, as you told Commissioner Oliver, that, you know, he could go out there on his own and look and see. But it's just a whole lot more involved if we're out there all on our own, and if we're calling the people in and asking them questions and interrogating them about what's going on, why this isn't going on, than it would be to, you know, do some kind of formal oversight, a formal process of oversight. But anyway, I'm not going to belabor it. It's getting late.
Yeah, it's getting late.
Yeah, Ben got to go eat.
Hey, now I've eaten. I ate before I came this time. I learned my lesson.
All right, you get smart.
But I got to get up early in the morning. I got a seminar I got to be at in the morning.
Oh, okay.
I got one, right, too. Sweet feel.
All right. I don't know if anyone's on any public anyone from the public on the call that they would like to have public comments at this time. If so, we need you to state your name and your topic, and we give you 5 minutes. Call number two, public comment. Anyone have public comment? All right, hearing none. Any commissioners have any comments?
Commissioner Melvin, so are we going to table this committee thing, or are we going to try something different?
Yes,
okay.
I think all so. Right. That was the general feeling I got, that we only, I think, one person really was in somewhat support, but everybody's thinking there's other options. So, you know, let's try some of the other options. And I think maybe, you know, we have said in the past that we needed to have a report, and it's actually on our agenda, has been for, you know, several years, reports from committees and departments. And we have very few reports from departments on what they're planning and what they're doing, and, you know, what the plan. But you know, that would be a good alternative.
Let's put that on the work session and bring it up and make some decisions on which way we want to go with that, and bring it up at this next work session. So how we want to do what we want to do.
All right. Everybody give that some thought. We put that on the work session. Anybody object to that?
That way we have time to think about ideas.
Yeah. All right. Anything else? Hearing nothing else,
I make a motion we adjourn.
Motion by Commissioner Hollywood to adjourn. Is there a second?
Second, Mr. Chairman.
Second by Commissioner Melvin. All those in favor, yell out yes.
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 right, we're adjourned. Thank y'all.
Night.
Night, y'all.